like to begin today by sharing with you an account that some of you may have already seen. It's about Joshua Bell, the violinist. I believe that as we look at this topic today of if we are experiencing devastation and being just turned inside out by that, to where we feel like we are just incapable of moving forward because we are so devastated, or if we are walking in discernment through the help of the Holy Spirit, we look at this topic and we see how important it is for you and me to recognize that God offers discernment to us in the midst of our devastation. And you, as a Plan A woman, will experience some devastation in your life, won't you? Some of the devastations come into our lives out of just pure tragedy. There may be a plane crash. There may be a car accident. There may be an illness. But we also find that sometimes some of the devastations that we experience might have been able to have been avoided. They could have perhaps been avoided if we had been more wise, if we had been walking closer to God and paid attention to that small, quiet voice. So as we look at this topic today, God wants to open a huge door for you and me. He wants to help you and me truly get our minds around the fact that He wants to give each person His discernment on how they would handle the situation. And how many of you in here this morning would like to say, I would like God's discernment for how to walk through my days? I believe all of us would say that, wouldn't we? We would all say that. And so what we are looking at is how this can be our world. This can be our situation. This can be devastating, but we are able to perceive the situation in a different way if we are relying on God's discernment. So today, that is our goal, is for us to get our minds around that fact that we can handle our situations with more perception, with more discernment. Actually, this word discernment means to separate. It means to distinguish between. So we have this situation in front of us. It's devastating. There's not one of us that will at some point in time not experience some kind of a devastation or a devastating situation. This situation is before us, and we say, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should do this or if I should do this. To discern means to be able to distinguish between if you should do this or if you should do this. Have you ever just wished that God would just write it on the wall what you should do? Because sometimes A and B look very similar and you're not sure what the consequences down the road will be. And so this is what God wants to offer us, discernment, the ability to distinguish between, to separate things out. Discern is the power to see what is not evident to the average mind. To discern is to be able to see what is not evident to the average mind. Oh, ladies, this is truly a gift, to have the gift of discernment, and it comes from God. Now, put on your listening guide right there a picture, and I'd like for you to just look at it and tell me what you see when you look at that picture. What do you see? You're telling me two different things. You're saying rabbit, rabbit. And while some are saying rabbit, rabbit, others are saying duck, duck. How many of you see a rabbit? All right, put your hands down. How many of you see a duck? A lot more people see a duck than see a rabbit. So what is it? Is it a rabbit or is it a duck? Well, actually, it is. It depends on how you perceive it. It depends on how your eyes look at this very situation. You can find both a duck and a rabbit in this picture. You see the rabbit finally. Yay, Nancy just saw the rabbit. So you are able to see both a rabbit going hippity-hop and you're able to see a duck going quack-quack. All right? But it depends. Some of you first saw one or the other, didn't you? Your mind and your eyes first saw one. So we learn today that God gives us this ability to, we first see devastation situation. But God wants to bring in another set of eyes. He wants to bring this in so that we see how He also sees it. What He also sees can be woven into that picture of the unhappy marriage, of the rebellious child, of the illness, of the even situations that are very hard to deal with, the affair, the bankruptcy, all of these devastating situations. I want to share with you, as I mentioned, about Joshua Bell, a violinist, because this is a very insightful thing for us to consider as we realize that God wants you and me to be more perceptive Christians who rely on Him. In Washington, D.C. metro station on a cold January morning in 2007, there was a man with a violin who played six Bach pieces for almost 45 minutes. During that time, approximately 2,000 people went through the station, most of them on their way to work. After 3 minutes, a middle-aged man noticed that there was a musician playing. He slowed his pace and stopped for a few seconds and then hurried to meet his schedule. 4 minutes later, the violinist received his first dollar. A woman threw the money in the hat and, without stopping, continued to walk. 6 minutes. A young man leaned against the wall to listen to him, then looked at his watch and started to walk again. 10 minutes. A 3-year-old boy stopped, but his mother tugged him along hurriedly. The child stopped to look at the violinist again, but the mother pushed hard and the child continued to walk, turning his head all the time. This action was repeated by several other children. Every parent, without exception, forced their children to move on quickly. 45 minutes. The musician played continuously. Only 6 people stopped and listened for a short while. About 20 gave money, but continued to walk at their normal pace. The man collected a total of $32. 1 hour. He finished playing, and silence took over. No one noticed, no one applauded, nor was there any recognition. No one knew this, but the violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the greatest musicians in the world. He played one of the most intricate pieces ever written with a violin worth $3.5 million. 2 days before, Joshua Bell sold out a theater in Boston where the seats averaged $100. This is a true story. Joshua Bell playing incognito in the metro station was organized by the Washington Post as part of a social experiment about perception, taste, people's priorities. The question raised, in a commonplace environment, at an inappropriate hour, do we perceive beauty? Do we stop to appreciate it? Do we recognize talent in unexpected context? One possible conclusion reached from this experiment could be this. If we do not have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world playing some of the finest music ever written with one of the most beautiful instruments ever made, how many other things are we missing? This is a true story. As we look at that, and as I read that account, the Lord so convicted my heart that very often you and I may be missing what He is wanting to accomplish and what He is wanting to do in the middle of our, what we perceive to be, devastation. I believe through this whole study that God is just saying to you and me, whatever it is that we're going through, we need to stop. We need to recognize that there is this landmine of fear or unforgiveness or devastation right before us. But God. Would you just say that with me? But God. And that is a huge thing that we need to realize is but God. And when He is factored into the situation. So whatever you're going through today, I believe that God would want to say to you, I believe that Jesus would want to say to you, I'm your Joshua Bell. I'm your Jesus. I'm your Savior. Just stop and turn around because I want to help you play out this situation through my eyes and with my heart. We are able to see this as we look at some of those people that we in the Bible, and we were able to look at how they had discernment. I don't know about you, but I'm always wanting to learn from others. Are you? And so those who are accomplishing the walk that we want to have, then I think we can learn from them. Now, let me share with you very quickly before we open our Bibles and look at this, though. All Christians have the opportunity to be discerning. Every believer has the opportunity to be discerning. However, we often are undiscerning Christians. And I asked a group once, why do you think we are undiscerning? Why do you think we don't listen to God? And one reason was given, we make assumptions. We try to figure things out without God. How many of you could say, I have tried before to figure things out without God? Second, we may casually read the Bible. If we just do a quick read of the Bible, but we are not truly seeking it for its wisdom or to apply it, then that's another reason that we can just skip the whole discernment. A third reason is we may cry out, help me, God, help me, and then we don't wait and listen for his answers. That's why I believe it is so important to take a pen in your journal or your paper into your prayer time, and when you pray and you say, help God, you remain and you listen and you wait for him to speak to your heart and your mind. And if you've come in here today and you say, I've asked God help and I've waited, but I'm not getting any answers, wait longer, stay longer, open your Bible with you, let him prompt your heart to a scripture, remain, stay there. Wait and give him time. Another reason is, while we may not be discerning, is we tune out to God during the day. We start really good, don't we? Lord, I'm here. I want to be your servant. But then we get so busy during the day that when these things happen to us, we don't stop and tune back into him. We just tune into our own thoughts. Another reason that people say that we sometimes are undiscerning is we ignore that still small voice. We ignore that still small voice. And we also can panic rather than pray, can't we? We can just react. We can respond. When I ask, why do you think we ignore that still small voice? Why do you think we ignore that still small voice? Someone said, we're not obeying God. Some of us are stubborn and think God will just bail us out. We bolt ahead full steam without really seeking him. I cannot tell you how many women have shared with me, I just had this feeling before I got married, Debbie, that he wasn't the right one, but we already had the wedding planned, the invitations had already been sent out, and I just had something in me telling me that it wasn't right, but I went ahead because I just felt bad about canceling. Do you know of anybody who's ever done that or said that or thought that? You're nodding your heads. It may have been you. But see, when we ignore, that is discernment. That is the Holy Spirit trying to speak to our hearts. I had this feeling I shouldn't take that job. I had this feeling I shouldn't have had that meeting. I had that little gut feeling that I shouldn't have bought that thing. I shouldn't have invested in that. We ignore. We vote full steam ahead. And then we think, why am I in this devastating situation? So we want to become those women who, rather than ignore, we become discerning. Why? Now, on your listening guide, would you read with me Psalm 119:66, which is our verse for the day. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. I'd like for you to close your eyes now, and I would like for you to let that be a prayer to God. We just read a Bible verse, didn't we? But now let's make it our prayer to God. And so if you would, you may need to keep your eyes open, but let it be a matter of your heart praying to the Lord God Almighty. Lord, I just ask that you would hear each one of us now as we voice this. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So now teach us, Lord. Teach us. Now, first of all, why should we be discerning? If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 25, we want to see why we should be discerning. And as we look at this in 1 Samuel 25 and we look at Abigail's life. How many of you enjoyed reading about Abigail? Did you go back and read the scriptures, the whole story? Awesome lady, isn't she? But as we look at Abigail's life, we see that there are two reasons why you and I should be discerning, why we should want to be discerning, why we should pray and ask God to help us be discerning. The first reason on your listening guide is to divert divert, D-I-V-E-R-T, potential devastation. We see that potential devastation could have been diverted if Nabal had been discerning, but he was not. And so, ladies, one thing that I believe Jesus just wants to communicate to each of us today is there are some things that could be potentially devastating for you if you do not change your spending habits, your eating habits, your drinking habits, your parenting habits, your marriage habits, your relational habits, your grandparent habits, your work ethic. There are some things out there that can become potentially devastating, and I want to divert you from it. So accept my discernment. The second reason that we should be discerning is discernment can open the door to God's blessing in the midst of devastation. Discernment can open the door to God's blessings in the midst of devastation. Dear friends, you can have a situation that is devastating, and I can't tell you how many times I've just thought, this is horrible. And it has been horrible. But then God has just been, Debbie, I want to do something in and through this. I want to do something in and through this. And as we look at the scriptures, we see all kinds of people who were in devastating situations, but God wanted to show off. God wanted to show up big. God wanted to impact somebody else's life. And so we see that if we are discerning, even in the midst of devastation, doors can be opened. Doors can be opened if we use discernment. Before we get to Abigail, would you look quickly with me at Joseph, though? Because Joseph is one of those that most of you probably are very familiar with his story, with his account of how he was wrongfully sold into slavery, how he was wrongfully accused of trying to molest Potiphar's wife. And Joseph kept just getting the bad deal, didn't he? He was a good guy, and bad things kept happening to him. And have you ever thought to yourself, I don't know why, God, this keeps happening, because I really am trying to walk in your will. Have you ever thought that? I really am trying to do things right, but bad things keep happening to you. Well, that's what happened to Joseph. But we see that God used Joseph, and God had a bigger plan. And so we see from Joseph's life some lessons. And the very first lesson that we see from Joseph is that spiritually discerning people, number one, are observant of others. They are not self-centered. Spiritually discerning people are observant of others. When you read in Genesis chapter 40, Joseph was in prison for through no fault of his own, as we have mentioned. But the cupbearer had, and the baker, who were also confined in jail, had a dream. But they weren't able to interpret it. And in verse 6, I want you to notice, Joseph came to them in the morning, and he observed them. Behold, they were dejected. Ladies, how many times is your spouse, your coworker, your child, do they have a dejected look on their face? I mean, others can have dejected looks on their faces, right? They can have a dejected look on their face. Now, God will use a spiritually discerning person. See, he wants to use us. You remember last week how we talked about how our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? We are not our own. He's bought us. We're the temple. We're the place that people get to come and meet with God. We're the one through whom we are able to communicate God's encouragement and blessings and guidance. And so this is a whole part of us being a plan A woman in a plan B world, is us understanding this and learning to work this out in our lives. Joseph was in prison, but he was looking at someone else's face. And he was offering help. And he said to them who were in confinement in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? A couple weeks ago, we noticed how God noticed Cain's countenance, didn't he? And now we notice Joseph noticing somebody else's face. I would just like to encourage you in a very practical way to notice other people's countenances. So many times we're worried about our countenance, aren't we? Our feelings, our emotions. Start noticing the countenances of those around you and see if God might not want to use you to bring a word from him to someone else. In verse 8, it says, they said to him, we have had a dream and there is no one to interpret it. Now, they've got a problem. They've had a very disturbing dream. Have you ever had a disturbing dream? I have. Have you ever had a dream and you thought, what in the world did that mean? And you wondered about it and you thought about it. They had a disturbing dream. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Now I want you to notice something that I absolutely love about the scriptures right here. He next says, tell it to me, please. Wait a minute. Didn't he just say, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me. Do you catch that? That is very powerful, dear friend. You let that soak in. Interpretations belong to God. They belong to God. You tell it to me. Because he understood that he had God's discernment in him. Ladies, that is a precious commodity that Jesus wants you to know you have the potential to have. Is God's interpretation of how you should handle your child rearing situation, God's interpretation of how you should handle your finances, God's interpretation of how you should handle that child, that marriage, that relationship. God knows the answer, but the answer is in you through the Holy Spirit. This is powerful teaching. And so we see the second point is that a spiritually discerning person recognizes God is the source and the giver of discernment. But our third point is a spiritually discerning person understands that we are God's vessels to be used by him because he is not here in the flesh today. In chapter 41 of Genesis, also, if you turn over, we see that Pharaoh asked for Joseph because he's told that Joseph is able to interpret dreams. In verse 38, after Joseph interpreted his dream, Pharaoh says in verse 38, said to his servant, can we find a man like this in whom there is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, since there is no one so discerning and wise as you, you shall be over. And he continued, oh, ladies, please go back and look at this. Again, I know I am repeating myself, but sometimes we need to hear something over and over and over again, don't we? Jesus wants you to hear. He wants you to be this discerning, person. He wants you to be this discerning person in your family, in your relationships. You're the one. Jesus is just offering it to you on a silver platter, his discernment. Now look at this. Our fourth point we've already mentioned is that spiritually discerning people have a divine spirit. I'm sorry, we had not mentioned that, but as Pharaoh was able to observe, he saw in Joseph that he had a divine spirit. And I can just walk up to Kathy Thomas and I can say to her, you have a divine spirit. And I'm not flattering her. I'm not saying, oh, you're just divine. You're just divine girlfriend. I can walk up to her and say, you have a divine spirit. I'm saying she has the spirit of God in her. I'm able to walk up to my daughter, Lauren, who's visiting with us today, and say, you have a divine spirit in you. I'm able to walk up to Jeannie Donald and say, Jeannie, you have a divine spirit in you. And I just fall on my knees and say, God, how blessed are we in here who have called on the name of Jesus Christ, and we have a divine spirit in us. Oh, ladies, I look across the room at most of you, and I know most of you are believers. I don't know each one of you personally, but if you have confessed your sins and you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, he has given you his spirit. You have a divine spirit. You are on the pages. Your life is being written. Even as this book was written and journaled, your life is being recorded in history. And God wants you to live by the divine spirit. Peter wrote that in 2 Peter. He said, we have the divine nature. Now, our fifth point here we see, though, is that the spiritually discerning person relies on the outside source, the informant. Have you ever seen spy movies or something like that, or espionage movies? And they always need what? An informant, right? They need an informant. And ladies, we have it. We have an outside source of information, an outside source to give us information on how to walk through our day, how to handle our situations. I have an informant. I do. I have an informant. And I want to tell you something. I'm on the phone with him all the time in prayer. I'm with him all the time. Not on the phone. I'm with him all the time, though, calling on my informant. I mean, I've got him on speed dial. He knows my number, caller ID. He's got it because I'm always calling on him. Now, as we look at this, we get excited because we see that Joseph was a regular man who God used in an incredible way in the midst of devastation, in the midst of his imprisonment, in the midst of him being taken out of place and being taken to Egypt. And we have hope. We say, God wants to use me in the midst of that I was taken from my home, in the midst that I was taken from the city I loved, in the midst that my husband left me, in the midst of this situation. God wants to use me. God wants to give me discernment on how to handle this. Now let's look at Abigail, because we can learn some more lessons from this delightful, delightfully charming woman in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 14, we see that spiritually discerning people are known for their discernment. If you have not read this story, go back and read it. It's better than any soap opera you'll ever watch on TV, right? It is just full of passion and love and a mean husband, a drunk husband, and a good guy that captures her. And I mean, it's just full of every single thing you could think of in the whole world, because this is life, isn't it? This is life. Good guy, bad guy. All these different situations, work problems. This whole passage talks about this. But the very first thing we see is a little background information is David had been doing business with Nabal. And we are told in the scripture that Nabal is a worthless man. He just is. And Abigail is a very intelligent and beautiful woman, we are told in 1 Samuel 23. But the man, Nabal, was harsh and evil in his dealings. Now, David and his men had been protecting Nabal's flocks. And when the time period was due for David and his men to be recompensed, Nabal, instead of doing what he should have done and recompensing them appropriately, he shunned David. Well, now, this did not sit well with a little king-to-be. And he took rightful issue with the fact that Nabal was not responding correctly to him. He took great issue to the point that David's reaction was, in verse 13, each of you gird your sword. So each of the men girded their sword, and David girded his sword, and about 400 men went up behind David while 200 stayed with the baggage, and they were going to murder Nabal and all of their household. Now, these were days of strong vengeance, weren't they? But we find in verse 14, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men," he's referring to David, "were very good to us. We were not insulted." And he goes on, and he talks about this whole situation. And he says that now they're coming to kill them. And in verse 17, he says, "Now therefore know and consider what you should do, for evil is plotted against our master and against all his household, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him." Ladies, our first point here under Abigail is that spiritually discerning people are known for their discernment. Notice who they went to when there was trouble. Did they go to Nabal, the worthless man? They went to the intelligent, discerning woman. Now, you may say, "I'm in a marriage to a worthless man." You may say, "I'm in a work relationship with a worthless boss." You may say, "I'm in whatever it may be," but I want us to observe some things from Abigail here. The second thing that we see is that spiritually discerning people are approachable. They are good listeners, and they are willing to help others. This servant who went and talked to Abigail, he already knew he could come talk to her, didn't he? So be that woman. Be that woman in whatever situation you are. Be the one that is known as that. The third point we see is that spiritually discerning people consider and they process information. They consider and they process information rather than panic, blame, or take offense. Now, if I put myself in this story right here, you probably would have heard me panicking. David is coming with his hundreds of men, with them all with their swords. You probably would have heard a very quick blame come about very quickly. It's all of Nabal's fault. I mean, you would have heard these probably things being processed out of my mind and out of my mouth. Isn't there a reaction sometimes in us, in our flesh, to want to blame, to want to accuse, to want to... Abigail had the discerning spirit about her to not waste time blaming, accusing, panicking. And I think that's a characteristic of a godly woman when we can become less panic, blame, emotional, overreactive, and we can hear a situation and then we can just process it and consider, okay, this is what's happening. Now, what do I need to do? God, what do I need to do? And we see this maturity in her. A spiritually discerning person is able to act decisively. We see this. Abigail hurriedly took 200 loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep already prepared, 5 measures of roasted grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. She said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And I ask you in your Bible study, ooh, was that bad for her to go around behind her husband's back, for her not to tell Nabal? Well, we find out why she didn't tell Nabal. Nabal was getting drunk, and he was having his own feast. He was having his own feast, and she was literally saving the day, wasn't she? She was sparing lives. We see that a fifth point, and that is spiritually discerning people are humble. In verses 20 through 24, we watch Abigail. And it says that as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain, then behold, David and his men were coming down toward her. So she met them. Now, David had said, "Surely in vain I've guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned to me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David. And more also, if I'm mourning, I'll leave as much as one male of any who belong to him." David is still angry. David is mad at how Nabal has treated him. Now look at verse 23, at this humble, discerning woman. When Abigail saw David, she hurried. We've seen her hurrying twice now, haven't we? And you may think, well, there have been some situations that you've been in, and you've had to hurry. You've had to act. You've had to get the bank money. You've had to get the money transferred to another account. You've had to get to the hospital. You've had to figure out what to do in different devastating situations. Welcome to the real world, and welcome to how God wants to use you as a discerning woman. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, listen to this, ladies. Listen to her humility. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the blame." And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself up by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. Now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to you, to my Lord, be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant. When I kept reading this, I kept saying, but you didn't do it. It was him. Any of y'all have that reaction when you're doing this? It's like, it's Nabal's fault. Why are you falling on the ground apologizing? It was him. Ladies, I think there's a lesson in here. There are times when you need to drop the it's his fault, it's her fault. There are times you need to drop it. You need to say, this is the situation, and God, how do you want me to deal with it? Is that what God is calling you to today? There are times you just need to drop the blame. And you need to deal with the situation, as Abigail was doing here. Abigail, in other words, ladies, in her discernment, she knew that Nabal was a worthless man. And you may know that your husband is worthless with the finances. You know that you may know that your boss is worthless at meeting deadlines and commitments he makes. You may know this. And to me, what this scripture is saying, let's deal with what we know. A spiritually discerning woman. If you know that your husband is not going to pay the bills on time, why don't you start paying the bills? If you know that your husband has a problem with alcohol and you can have a glass of wine but he can't, why don't you stop drinking? If you know that your child has this behavior problem and every time you take them there, there's going to be a difficult situation because of your child's behavior, then why don't you start picking a different place for you to meet with your friend to play at the park? The point is, I believe through spiritual discernment, God is offering us to be able to handle situations in ways that we might not otherwise do it if we just continue to lay blame on other people. We find here that Abigail's gift is received. She says, forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for the Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord. And evil shall not be found in you all your days. She continues. It's a wonderful story. I hope you really, truly read it. Not story, historical account. In verse 32, David said to Abigail, blessed be the God of Israel who sent you this day to me. I am just wondering who God is going to be sending you to as a spiritually discerning woman. And it may take you eating some crow, or it may take you having to apologize for something that somebody else even did that you didn't do. But God wants to use you as an instrument of peace. God wants to use you to stop something that some devastation that might happen otherwise. David said to her in verse 33, blessed be your discernment. And blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Verse 35, David received from her hand what she had brought him and said, go to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request. Abigail could have run in the house, put her head under the pillow at the same time that she was just charging Nabal for all their family that's getting to get ready to be killed, and all of their whole finances and everything that they've got that's getting ready to be ruined. She could have just panicked. She could have overreacted. She could have blamed, but she didn't. She was spiritually discerning. And I believe in this day and age, ladies, as it's no other time, God is needing us to be spiritually discerning. Would you say amen? Amen. Because life is hard. Issues are hard. And we need discernment like at no other time. And so we see all these things from Abigail. Not only did she consider and process information, act decisively, she was humble, she was willing to assume responsibility. I think in our seventh point that we see in Abigail that we don't have time to cover right now, but she saw the big picture. She saw that David was one day going to be king, and that he didn't need this incident of bloodshed on his hand. And eighth, she was able to recognize discernment in others and were drawn to it, as we saw David and Abigail had that. So we were able to see that God uses spiritually discerning people, and he wants to use you. Now, if you're here today and you say, I want to become more discerning, what can we do? First of all, seek information from God. Recognize that you have a divine spirit, the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, and that God does want to commune with you. You can look up those scriptures in John that I've left you with repeatedly, where Jesus says he's giving us a helper. He's sending us the Spirit. And recognize that. And with that comes that spirit of power and discernment. Second, as you look at seeking information from God, be still in God's presence. Meditate on Him and His Word, the Bible, to know His ways and His voice. When I first began writing, an editor sent back some things I'd sent to her, and she said it much more formally. Y'all probably wouldn't say I'm a very formal person, right? I mean, work it is not real formal. And so she had sent some things back that just sounded very, very nice. But I read them and I was like, that's not how I talk. That's not how I talk. And so I called her, and she was a very nice lady, but, you know, she was trying to polish me up. And too much polish didn't sound like me anymore. Do you know what I mean by that? And so finally I spoke with somebody in the publisher, and she said, Debbie, that's not your voice. I thought, voice? But I began to learn what it meant, that different authors have different voices. And sometimes you could even pick up something and not know who the author is, but you might say, oh, that's Max Lucado's writing. Oh, that's Beth Moore's writing. Oh, that's... And because the way that they talk, the way that they write, you begin, the more you read, the more you hear, the more you study, it sounds like that person. Without audibly hearing their voice, it is their voice. In the very same way, the more you read the Bible, then the more you will recognize if it's if it's God's voice directing you to a certain action or if it's yours. You will be able to discern. You will be able to distinguish between. You'll be able to separate out what are your thoughts and feelings and what are God's. Ladies, that is one of the most practical principles that I can give you. The more you read this, the more you will be able to discern God's voice. So you'll be able to distinguish out what is of your thoughts and what are God's. And see, as we seek this information from God, ask Him to give you, to fill you with His Spirit and nature, and to give you His discernment. We just prayed that a minute ago. Teach me good discernment. So for whatever situation you are facing, pray that. Say, teach me good discernment. You know, very popular right now are going to 3D movies, correct? And what 3D movies do, they always have you wear what? 3D glasses. Because what these 3D glasses do, I think it's very interesting. I had to do a little research. But 3D glasses, what they do is they put two pictures together to form one 3D image. So you're able to see depth. You're able to see more. You're able to see just a great big huge intensity of what's going on. And ladies, when we take and when we ask God, give me your viewpoint on this. I'm looking at this situation. I'm looking at this marriage. I'm looking at this child. I'm looking at this bank account. I'm looking at this through these two eyeballs. God, I need to bring in your set of eyes on this situation. So I encourage you to ask God to so say that. Pray it. Teach me good discernment. You've got that verse right there on your page. Second, in order to become more discerning, be wise. Ask God again for His wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you ask like wisdom, let him ask of God. 1 Kings 3:7-12. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore because he asked. Ask. If you are wanting wisdom and discernment because you're wanting to be used of God, like Abigail was, like Joseph was, because you're wanting to be able to interpret when there are problems and difficulties, then ask. God will be happy to grant it to you. Seek that wisdom in the Bible. Make your ear attentive to it. Proverbs 2:2-5 teaches us this. Proverbs 2:2-5 says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and all that goes with it. See, ask God to teach you His commandments and ways so that you'll have good discernment and knowledge. That's what Psalm 119:66 says. Ladies, I can look at a mango and a peach in a fruit bowl, and sometimes I can't tell the difference. Can you? until you learn to truly discern the difference in how that mango looks and that peach looks. And what if you taste them both? Then don't you really grow to discern? Even though they're both the same color, they look the same texture, you're able to discern that difference between that mango and that peach. And so pray that God will give you that good discernment. Three, carefully consider your situation. Watch for God's divine guidance during the day. We see this in 1 Samuel 3:8. We see this in Psalm 5:5. Four, train your senses to hear. This is the way. Walk in it. As Isaiah 30:21 says, train your senses to hear this. A, practice recognizing the difference between right and wrong and choosing right. Look at Hebrews 5:14 very quickly if you've got your Bibles where you can turn to that passage. Ladies, the good news for us, we're hearing this. It's all being said the same thing, but in different ways. Instead of working it, it's saying train yourself. Train your senses. I remember when I first started asking God to teach me to discern His voice. That was my prayer. It was years ago. And I said, God, teach me to discern Your voice. And I truly, it was one of those spiritual moments in my life. Like my salvation was an incredible spiritual moment. When I began to understand the filling of the Holy Spirit, that was a wow, over-the-top spiritual moment that I could begin walking and living by His Spirit. And then when I began praying, teach me to discern Your voice, I went to a whole new place with God. And all I can say is it has been an absolute blast. I'm having more fun in my life than I've ever had. It's just so sweet. Ask Him to teach you discern His voice, and then to, as B point says, practice walking by that divine Spirit throughout the day. In Hebrews 5, verse 14, it says, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Ladies, train your senses. Train your senses, train your mind, emotion, will, spirit to pick up on what is of God and what is of your old flesh, what is of your old human nature that you came into this world with. And then practice this B point, practice walking by the divine Spirit throughout the day. I asked God, just teach me. And the only way God could teach me how to discern His voice is I would feel prompted that He was telling me to do something, maybe a ministry decision. The first year we held our retreat, the direction for this book, whatever it might be. And I would just ask God to prompt me and to show me, and then I would take those steps. If it turned out good, I began to learn, God, this is Your voice. This is You were speaking to me then. And when I made a mistake, I was able to say, okay, I get it. That was where my will, my flesh, my nature. And so God has been training me. God wants to train you to discern His voice, and you will have more fun than you ever thought in your whole life. And so we see this C point. Learn from your mistakes and blessings to discern God's voice. Our principle that we see is that discernment is not for a select few. Discernment is not for a select few. It is available to all who seek God. God offers discernment to a plan A woman in a plan B world. This image that I have for you that's on your handout that looks like this, I use this just to remind us. We may be like those people who pass by Joshua Bell, the violinist. We may be like those people who see a situation and we say, all I can see in this situation is a big black blob. All I can see in this situation is devastation. All I can see in this situation is no good coming out of it. All I can see in this situation is the darkest of nights, the worst of case scenarios. That's all I can see in this situation. And we're just walking by it, and we're not discerning that we have a divine spirit in us. We're not discerning that there is a Jesus who wants to be Christ in that situation. If you look at this, how many of you have done this before? If you stare at this for 30 seconds, and your little picture may not be big enough, so I'll leave this on the back table. But if you stare at this in the very center for 30 seconds, and then you close your eyes, you will see the face of Christ. It's a beautiful image of our Lord and Savior. And today He is saying to you, yes, you've had some devastations. you are going to experience devastations, tribulations in this world. And it looks like this. But you keep looking, and you'll see my face, and you will hear my voice giving you discernment. And so, ladies, we're invited to live out loud. Diffuse devastating landmines with godly discernment. I'd like to encourage you, prepare today for your tomorrow. Learn to discern God's voice before the devastation hits. You can avoid some devastations, and you can see God's open blessings for you in the midst of the devastations. Second, love out loud. Be known as other-centered rather than self-centered, as we see in Joseph and Abigail. Offer yourself to God to be a vessel he can use in others' lives. And laugh out loud. Please share the joys. Sometimes we just tell each other the complaints. But share the joys of how God is blessing you with others in the midst of your devastations. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much that you offer to us the reality check that what may seem to be a devastating situation is the very situation through which you are wanting to minister to someone, to draw someone closer to yourself, to bring blessings out of what would have seemed horrible. Lord, I just pray that each of us who prayed, "Teach me good discernment," would be open and receptive to that good discernment that you give us as we go through our day. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.